I'm Marty Moscoe, and welcome to Radio Times. On Sunday, Philadelphia Mayor Michael Nutter told congregants at Mount Carmel Baptist Church that mobs of African American youth who have attacked people in downtown Philadelphia have damaged themselves, their peers, and, quote, quite honestly, you've damaged your own race. Nutter added this yesterday.
You know, I don't care what your economic status is in life. You do not have a right to beat somebody's ass on the street. None.
On Monday, the mayor also announced a weekend curfew of 9 o'clock for anyone under 18 in Center City and University City, a greater police presence, and extended evening hours for 20 recreation centers. And he had this message for rampaging kids and their parents.
The kids who participate in these attacks, they know full well what they are doing. They might be fools, but they're not stupid. They are reckless. They are inconsiderate. Potentially dangerous, and most importantly, they clearly do not grasp the consequences of their actions. And that's where adults must step in. It is our responsibility to make sure that our kids know what happens if they break curfew or break the law. It is our responsibility to provide leadership and mentorship for them. It is our responsibility to try to come up with solutions and then partner with them on more positive outcomes for our young people. To make sure that they know the impact of what a criminal assault charge will have on their future, we need to make sure that they know that these actions are wrong. It begins with our parents, and the excuses stop today.
That's our topic for today's Radio Times, what to do about the youthful mob violence here in Philadelphia. We are joined by Charles Ramsey. He's the Philadelphia Police Commissioner appointed by Mayor Michael Nutter back in January 7th, 2008. And Commissioner Ramsey, nice to have you back with us on Radio Times.
It's good to be here.
Also with us is Dr. Chuck Williams. He's an assistant clinical professor in the School of Education at Drexel University's Goodwin College of Professional Studies, also director of the Center for the Prevention of School-Age Violence. And Chuck Williams, nice to have you with us on Radio Times as
Thanks for inviting me.
You're very welcome. And Commissioner, if I could begin with you.
Sure.
Is this a law enforcement problem?
Partially, but not totally. I mean, what's driving some of this certainly goes beyond our capacity to be able to deal with it. But we have to deal with the reality of what's taking place on the streets and provide safety for people who want to, in this case, come down to Center City and enjoy themselves and not be attacked by mobs. So, yeah, it is a police problem to an extent, but certainly not overall.
And how are you going to enforce this curfew? How's that going to work?
Well, I mean, we've got extra personnel assigned, and if we find youngsters that are 17 or under in violation of the curfew, depending on the circumstances, we will either write them up as curfew violators or simply get them out of the targeted area. Because, again, this is a targeted area. It's not the entire city that's under this particular curfew, although there is a curfew that does apply citywide, but the special one that the mayor created is for University City and for Center City.
Are you, though, concerned that if there is this police presence in University City and Center City, that some of these kids will go to other parts of the city, or do you think there's something about this part of Philadelphia that attracts young people?
Well, I think it's a combination of both. I think there is something about Center City that, and even if you talk to the young people, many of them have not had a chance to really be in Center City to any for an extended period of time, so it's like new territory for them and a lot of things going on that haven't been exposed to consistently. But yeah, there is always a concern with displacement. That's true not only with this particular problem, but with crime in general. Whenever you put a police presence someplace, it tends to displace. So we have to be very careful of that. This is flexible enough. We'll move the grid if we need to move the grid. But we'll see how it goes.
I do want to turn to Chuck Williams, but just one more question for you, Commissioner. Why do you think these young people, and we should say this is a minority of kids in Philadelphia, this is not most young people in this city, but what do you think is the even the psychology behind some of this mob violence?
Well, I don't know about the psychology of it, but I'm glad you mentioned that this is a minority that's doing this sort of thing. Most of the kids that come down just want to have something to do. Whether it's a weekend, a weekday, or whatever, they really have no intentions at all of attacking people or causing a problem, and I think that's important. However, there is a small group of individuals who have the intention to begin with of actually causing some issues. We have a problem with a mob mentality that takes over, so you can actually have a situation where people get caught up in the moment. And they wind up, you know, getting involved in something that they might not otherwise get involved in. That's why parents have to be very careful in terms of Where their kids are going to be going unsupervised. And again, this curfew applies to people without parents with them. If you got your parent with you, you can be out as late as you want to be. But you've got to really be careful. Who are they hanging with? What are they doing? Who are they chatting with on Facebook, Twitter, all that sort of thing? Because having raised a child, it's not like you know all their friends anymore. I mean, with social media, there are a lot of people they're exposed to, groups that they could be involved in that you may not personally know. You've never seen them, and you got to be careful.
Let me turn to you, Chuck Williams, and do you agree with the commissioner that in many ways we are talking about a kind of a mob psychology, which is that people will do something in a group that they might not do themselves?
Sure, but before I get to that, I want to apologize for getting to the studio late. I was actually out in front of the studio. I was arrested by Michael Nutter because I was wearing a hoodie in the summertime, and my jeans weren't pulled up. So he
criticizing the mayor here.
He chastised me for that and told me to get the pick out of my head, that he was fed up. But
the mayor is fed up.
Yes, all of us are. The reason why I jokingly bring that up is because I agree with the sentiments of the mayor, most of them, when he gave his rousing speech yesterday in the church. But I think one of the things that he did, which is a no-no when it comes to engaging young people, is that he created this divide between an older generation and a younger generation. What we can't do, let me be clear about this, what we can't do is demonize young people and their culture and how they dress. You can remember last year, Dr. Ackerman and her team were looking at banning hoodies in the schools as a way to deal with school violence. But there is no research, not a single piece of data, that correlates hoodies with school violence. And we know correlation doesn't equal causation, but not even correlational studies. So we got to be clear about that. We can't say that who you are is something that is a problem. Now, back to the question asked me.
And back to the actual violence that has taken place in Philadelphia.
Yes, we know that in group, for all of us, there's anonymity. That's why we post pictures, Rep. Wiener, on Twitter or Facebook. People can be more aggressive on social networking sites. They can be more flirtatious on social networking sites. And we've done studies, ad nauseum, looking at this whole group think and group psychology, which says that if you don't think people are going to see you and know who you are individually, then you'll do things that you wouldn't normally do. And if you add to that the volatile mix of hormones and pre-adolescence and adolescence and then the angst that young folks are feeling in this city. Look, we have economic challenges. We have our public education system under assault. So now the children feel a need to express that in some way. Not the right way, obviously. It's the wrong way, but they're going to express it.
Well, and just picking up on that, I do want to get back to the commissioner as well, but let's use some of the examples on the street. And these are just pedestrians minding their own business, walking down the street, and they get attacked by a bunch of kids. Are you blaming them for the sociological problems that these kids are feeling?
No, I'm discussing some of the sociological root causes of violence, youth violence notwithstanding. When you have a poor economy, as we do have, when you have millions of jobs being lost, when you have more home foreclosures than we had since 1965, things do not look good economically for this country. So the most vulnerable feel that. Women and children, and that's exaggerated, obviously, in communities of color and communities of need like Philadelphia. No excuse, just trying to explain from an academic standpoint why we may have some of these challenges.
What do you think, Commissioner Ramsey? I mean, in certain ways, that is true. I mean, there are a lot of economic and sociological pressures on some of these communities and some of these families. Does that explain what it is we're talking about?
Not to me. I mean, there's no excuse for just jumping on somebody for no reason as a group and causing serious bodily injury and fear on the part of people. Listen, there's always other issues, and we can point to them. I don't know whether or not those individual kids were motivated by that or not motivated by that. I just know that that kind of acting out that involves actual assaulting people is not how you get things changed. It's not how you get things fixed. So, I wasn't a sociology major. I was criminal justice. So I'm coming at it from a little different perspective. But I appreciate all those things, and they're real. And we need to be working on getting those things fixed long term, but not every poor person goes out and does this. Not everyone who has been denied proper education goes out and does this. Not everybody who has their pants hanging half down off their butt goes out and does this. So, I mean, it's easy to kind of point to certain things, But the bottom line is, you cannot attack another person, and it's just, these are unprovoked attacks. It's not even something where, you know, people start to argue over something, and then they start to fight or whatever, it escalates to something. I mean, these are folks just walking down the street. Mm-hmm. They get attacked. And I think that's what scares people more than anything. You know, I was chief in D.C. when the D.C. sniper was out, and we had a lot of homicides in the District of Columbia. What scared people about that was the fact it was random. You didn't have to be doing anything to be a victim. And I think that that's what really kind of scares so many people when it comes to these so-called flash mobs versus some of the other crime and violence and social issues that we have in this city.
Turning back to you, Chuck Williams, and this is just reports that I've read in the paper and heard on television or on the radio, is descriptions of some of these kids laughing, seemingly enjoying the kind of violence that is being inflicted on an individual.
Sure. Well, we know that young people can be stupid. That's developmentally appropriate. That's why they need adults around, parents around. And if I can continue my conversation about the sociological root causes or the symptoms that we see as a result of some of the challenges that we face in communities of need, you know, Mayor Nutter is correct. Police Commissioner Ramsey is correct. I mean, I think that the good thing, the silver lining in this dark cloud for me, is that for the first time in a very long time, you have a bunch of folks saying one thing, which is parents have to do more. So what happens is, we don't have parents doing things like teaching social skills, which is an area of research for me. We take for granted that we have these skills as adults, but the reality is that these things are taught. We go back to Albert Bandura, social learning theory, which says that when you model certain behaviors for young people, they will emulate those behaviors. They'll mimic those behaviors. But if you don't, then they're off on their own. The other thing is, if you model negative behaviors for them, they're going to emulate. So I think it's a confluence of all those things.
Well, and going back to you, Commissioner Ramsey, we heard Mayor Nutter talking about parents, the responsibilities of parents. I mean, he's also getting tough with some of these parents as well, saying that you are responsible for your children.
Yeah, I mean, it's simple, but it's complicated.
Yes,
at
it
the
is.
Same time, because you've got a lot of dynamics going on in families. You've got some families where you've got literally generations of dysfunction. It's not just one generation. You've got grandparents trying to raise kids, and, you know, you're 60 years old, trying to keep up with a 13-year-old is more than a notion. So you've got a lot of stuff going on. But here's the bottom line, is that whoever that responsible adult is, you've got to do all you can to be able to try to manage what it is that they're doing. Now, we can fill gaps. You know, service agencies, city, you know, provide some opportunities, this, that, and the other, but we cannot raise everybody's kid. And it's not just a problem like with flash mobs when the doctor was mentioning just, you know, the socialization process. We see it even with people that we're recruiting onto the job because of even with social media and everybody communicating via text, how to talk to people, the inflection of your voice, the way in which you maintain eye contact. I mean, we're losing some of the very, very basic things that make us a society, and that's troubling.
We're going to take a very short break and then get back to our conversation. We are discussing the flash mob youth violence here in Philadelphia. The city is taking steps to impose a curfew and deal with this problem. We are joined by the Philadelphia Police Commissioner, Charles Ramsey, also by Dr. Chuck Williams from the Center for the Prevention of School-Age Violence. And we have Emily Gindelsberger waiting in the wings. We'll be right back.
The Pennsylvania Academy of the Fine Arts supports WHYY. Continuing education at PAFA has art classes and workshops this fall in drawing, painting, sculpture, printmaking, and more. Featuring Saturday classes for high school students, art appreciation in the PAFA Museum, and master classes with classical realist artist and author Juliet Aristides and noted painters Bill Scott and Stuart Shills. PAFA CE, a community of artists of all ages and levels. Classes begin September 8th. For details, pafa.edu/CE.
At the heart of everything we do at WHYY is one thing, storytelling. We try to inform, engage, inspire, and connect through deep, colorful stories. And NewsWorks Tonight brings together the best reporting from our network of journalists in one smart, lively regional news magazine. Weeknights at 6 on WHYY-FM. Or listen online at whyy.org and newsworks.org. There's also the podcast, and you can follow NewsWorks Tonight on Twitter and Facebook. And that's the story.
Next time in Studio 360's American Icons.
Ricky, can I be in the show?
The show that invented TV as we know it. I Love Lucy.
This stuff is in the DNA and in the brain of every comedy writer.
Lucy was always about desire. She wanted to do what she wanted to do. That's a seditious act.
I Love Lucy and the Birth of American TV. That's next time in Studio 360 from PRI and WNYC.
Tonight at 9 on WHYY.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen. Yesterday, Mayor Michael Nutter enlisted the cooperation of the District Attorney's Office, the Police Department, community groups, business owners, and others to reduce teen violence, a problem here in Philadelphia. And our guests are the Philadelphia Police Commissioner, Charles Ramsey, and Charles Williams, who's the director of the Center for the Prevention of School-Aged Violence. Joining us now by telephone is Emily Gindelsberger. She and some friends were attacked earlier this summer by a group of teens who broke her leg. And Emily, nice to have you with us on Radio Times. Do we have Emily? All right, well, we will try to get her on the air. But anyway, it looks like some technical problems there. Let me just go back to...
Oh, hello.
Go ahead, Emily. You're on Radio Times.
Yeah, I'm here.
That's good. Well, first of all, how are you doing and how is your leg doing?
I'm doing much better. I'm a lot more mobile than I was. I can get around on crutches, although it is not super fun in, like, 95-degree heat. But, yeah, I can get around my house. I can get around the city. And the buses are very helpful.
And the buses are very helpful. So you are physically healing. Are you in pain?
Not really. I had a lot of leg surgery when I was a kid, so this is not that abnormal for me, honestly.
And how about psychologically? How are you doing? And this happened about 6 weeks ago.
Surprisingly, I'm surprised that I'm, I think, fine, weirdly. Everybody seems to think that, I don't know, I should be more traumatized, I guess, than I am. And I'm really doing all right.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. What do you think about this plan to have a 9 p.m. curfew in Center City and University City in Philadelphia? Do you think that takes steps to address this problem?
Well, I mean, it certainly takes steps because one of the things that was sort of frustrating about my case was that there, when we got attacked, afterwards the police came and... Like, I had glasses, so, you know, my glasses got knocked off when I got attacked. I couldn't make anybody out. Also, you know, it was pretty dark. So I couldn't ID anybody by face. And when they asked me, like, oh, who, like, can you point out the people who did it? And, you know, pretty much everyone in my group, which, by the way, was more than 10 people. It wasn't just me, like, sort of, it got reported. We all sort of were like, it's those guys, those people over there. Do you see the 100 kids over there? It's those people. But, like, you couldn't.
Couldn't identify them.
They couldn't just go arrest 100 people just because we couldn't identify anybody. So this, I think, would give them more of an excuse if something is going crazy like that to break it up.
Now, just going back to what happened to you, you were at, it sounds like you were at Spring Garden and Broad Street. It was June 25th. You were with a group of friends. You round a corner and there's a huge group of kids. What happened?
Well, what happened was that well, first, people started sort of yelling at us, and we couldn't tell whether they were just messing with us, because that, like, if you pay attention to everything that teenagers yell at you, then you will have no time to do anything else.
Right.
But they were yelling, like, hey, it's a flash mob, you better run. So we were like, what? Wait, do we have, oh, wow, there's a lot of them. And then just some kid ran out of the crowd, just like this kind of little kid, actually, and just socked my friend in the face, and then that sort of, like, let it, like, that's when it all started. And they were after the guys in our group. They were not after me to begin with. I sort of got in the way, and then they tried to take my purse, and I got mad, and sort of, and then at that, and but the they weren't after the women. They were clearly after the guys, and sort of like almost like they wanted to fight them, even though it was clearly not a fair fight at all. I don't know.
And that's when your leg got broken, when this melee started, and it sounds like you were directly then attacked.
Yeah, there was a line of girls and some boys that were not in, like, because the hundreds of kids, they were not all doing this. This was only, like, I don't know, like 40 kids that came after us. Like the rest of them were not into this. And at first they were sort of making a human wall to prevent the other ones, like the violent ones, from coming after my friends. Mm-hmm. And I, in the moment, which was obviously not very smart, I was like, all right, yeah, I'll stop them. I'll join this human wall. And that was really stupid. So that's how I got, assaulted. My friends who stayed out of it, were okay, my female friends.
And I do want to get our in-studio guests in on the conversation, but just one more question to you, Emily, which is, I know that you have blogged about this, you have talked about this, we're here on the radio about this, obviously talking about what happened to you back in June. What kind of responses have you gotten to your description of what happened to you?
It's been sort of interesting in almost a similar way. I did get, most of it has been very supportive, and I've really appreciated that. But some people really take offense if you don't, specifically if because I did not scream, this is the beginning of a race war, the black people are specifically came after white people, that is why this happened. People will just, say the nastiest things. I was getting Facebook messages on, social media, on Twitter. People were sending me emails. Just about that I was this horrible, naive person who, is closing her eyes to the truth of, what's going on here, which is that, black people hate white people and are trying to kill them. And it was weirdly similar in that it was just, this horde of anonymous people that are just being horrible and cruel and are trying to hurt you.
And using this incident, I guess, to make some kind of a racial comment. Let me get Police Commissioner Charles Ramsey in on this. And we played some clips from the mayor. He certainly has talked about race. Is race an issue? Is race a part of what we're talking about here?
Well, I think we all have to be very, very careful before we start to throw that into the mix and to characterize it as such. We certainly are not naive enough to think that, some things aren't motivated that way. That's why you have hate crime laws on the books, because things like that can happen. But I think that you have to be very, very careful not to inflame the situation any more than it's already inflamed, quite frankly. So it means everybody needs to kind of step back and take a look at this for what it is. If we can prove that race was a motivation, then we will charge people appropriately with hate crimes and so forth. We've looked at that, and we've not seen where there's been any overt, conversation about it or anything else that would indicate that that was the sole motivating factor. I believe it's people who they feel to be vulnerable at the time that are being attacked. Wrong place, wrong time from the standpoint of being attacked, but you got a right to be there and you should be left alone. So I think that when people are singled out, they're singled out for a variety of reasons, but they think they can do it and get away with it. And that's the problem. And so I think we need to be very, very careful. And there are some that would love to just, try to inflame this even more. But I think that we need to just focus on the issue as we know it to be. And what we know we have is a problem with some youth in this city. And they're not all juveniles. Some are older than that, that are randomly attacking people on the streets of our city, and that just simply can't happen.
You want to add to that, Chuck Williams?
I was going to say that race is a factor to the extent that we're talking about a community of young people that face disproportionately significant need and challenges.
And by that you mean kids coming from perhaps some of the poorer neighborhoods.
Exactly.
Coming to Center City. And we should say, and I'm not trying to make this a racial issue, but Center City, Philadelphia is whiter than most
more
of
affluent.
The and more affluent and than most of the communities in,
yes,
in the city.
Like the police commissioner said, some of these young people had never been to Center City, so it's like a new playground for some of them, and they're doing things that they shouldn't do. Mm-hmm. And Emily mentioned this, that they were taking her pocketbook. I'm sure they didn't want to do that. They weren't looking to rob anybody, but it's senseless. Sometimes violence gets senseless. They start and they can't stop, and next thing they could be possibly charged with criminal behavior or conduct.
Emily, we have to say goodbye to you. Any final thoughts before we do that?
Not really.
Well, I wish you a continued recovery, and I thank you for joining us today in Radio Times, and I'm sorry for what happened to you.
Thanks.
You're welcome. And that's Emily Gindelsberger. She's an arts and entertainment editor for the Onion AV Club here in Philadelphia. We will continue our conversation with our guests, Philadelphia Police Commissioner Charles Ramsey and Chuck Williams, who is the director of the Center for the Prevention of School-Age Violence. We're talking about the problem of teen violence, youth violence here in the city of Philadelphia. And yesterday, Mayor Michael Nutter announced a curfew for Center City and University City. And he also talked about extending the hours for recreation centers and a greater police presence in this part of the city as well. And we're taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. What do you think this violence is about and what should be done about it? Chuck, if I can turn back to you, and I wonder if you could connect the dots between what we've been talking about and some of the problems of the dropout rate in Philadelphia, the problem of school violence in some schools in Philadelphia, bullying in Philadelphia, the no snitching, which is certainly part of some neighborhoods and communities. They don't want to talk to the police about what might be going on in their school or their neighborhood.
And sure, part of what we're trying to do, social scientists and people who study these issues, is exactly that, connect the dots. And it's not that challenging. You can kind of see the dots connecting. To me, as I stated before, we went on the air for the second part, was, I study social skills and social and emotional learning. That's one of my major areas of interest and research. The reason why I chose this area is because one of the things I started to see was that young people and children did not have basic social skills, taking turns, regulating their emotions, asking for help, offering help, dealing with frustration. All of those things are learned. If you don't teach them, they don't learn it, and they act out. It's all connected. In our schools, what we have is, someone pushed me, someone took my pencil, someone took my chocolate milk. So as the commissioner mentioned, I may shoot him or get someone else to shoot them. This is related to the incident on the SEPTA bus, which is just tragic and embarrassing for the city. Mm-hmm. So this young lady is possibly abusing, her child. So the citizens do the right thing and say, maybe you shouldn't do that. She makes a phone call because she's being chastised. And her cousin, nephew, whatever, they wait for the bus to stop and the door opens and they have shotguns and they just shoot up the bus. But part of the issue there was that young lady, and it's a shame that she's a mother, and I'm going to say that. That's a mother. So you'll probably be seeing that child, unfortunately, Police Commissioner Ramsey or myself doing some type of intervention. You'll see that child down the road needing all kinds of help, school-based behavioral health, which I did for 7 years. But she didn't know how to deal with that frustration. First, she beat her child, possibly, and then she became angry enough to tell her cousins or nephews to then shoot the people who said to her, maybe there's a better way to raise your child or to redirect your child. So that's about social skills, really.
Yeah. And that's something actually we were talking about during the break, Commissioner Ramsey, about, you're the police commissioner in Philadelphia. It's not your job to raise families in the city, but you have to deal with, in many ways, the fallout from parents who can't do that job.
Well, we do. But, I also see it from a different perspective because it did happen. And those individuals, and it's my understanding in court, there were some arguments that, nobody got hit, therefore I shouldn't be charged. Part of the problem we have is a lack of real serious consequences for people who do act out in that way. And as far as I'm concerned, those guys ought to be locked up for very, very long periods of time. We're just lucky we didn't have multiple homicides or shootings as a result of that. I mean, there were a couple of babies on that bus when those shots were being fired. I mean, there's just absolutely no excuse for that. And, again, when they come to me, when they've hit that threshold, my heart ain't bleeding for them. I mean, we got to do what we got to do. And as far as I'm concerned, there's no punishment that's too severe for those guys.
I could just add real quickly.
Real quickly.
Okay, consequences, by the way, are a part of social skills, social and emotional learning. Understanding there are consequences for your decisions, both good decisions and bad decisions. And our kids aren't learning that in the homes.
Commissioner Ramsey, though, I heard the district attorney, Seth Williams, saying we're going to prosecute these young people to the fullest extent of the law. The mayor talked about, DHS, that if your parents can't take care of you, then perhaps we're going to get DHS involved. Do we have, and obviously we're talking about the police department, do we have systems? Are they capable of dealing with the extent of the problem we're talking about?
Well, I mean, it could be easily overwhelmed. So I think we need to sit down and really kind of think about what is it that we can do. But those people that are part of, let's say, get arrested for some kind of behavior that falls short of jail time or whatever, and there needs to be counseling or whatever, all that's part of it. I think you've got to have a variety of approaches case by case to be able to deal with. and approach it that way. But again, government cannot fill all the void because they're so large. They just can't do it. But if you network with service providers, network with others, then we can have a significant impact and start to turn this around. But the community itself has to be the driving force for turning it around and for changing behavior and stop accepting excuses that some folks make for conducting themselves in a way in which they're harming other people. I mean, that's just no excuse. And just one other thing, just for the flash mobs, robbery is part of the motive on these things. The 11-year-old that we had, trying to snatch the purse, they were taking cell phones from people, things of that nature. So it may not be everybody, but there's a combination of assaults, robbery, you name it. There's all kinds of things.
Well, we have a full bank of calls here. Let's get Nuri from Center City, Philadelphia, to join our conversation. And Nuri, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
The curfew enforcement is limited to University City and Center City, where none of these children live. It's plausible to suggest that they live in North Philly, West Philadelphia, since they're taking SEPTA to get to and from the city. Now, with that said, most of these children live in areas where crime is prevalent, concentrated, majority of the violent crimes occur. They're allowed to congregate in bands in front of residential properties, causing blight, making it uncomfortable for those who reside in the neighborhood. Now, a lot of these children have no parental guidance. They're raising themselves. Now, the neighborhoods in Philly are washed in firearms, drugs. There's no attention paid to the violence until it spills into the quote-unquote safe areas. Mm. And I'll take my response off the air.
Nuri, I appreciate the call to Radio Times. Commissioner Ramsey, I'm back at you.
Well, I mean, I take exception to some of the things when you say nothing is done. I mean, most of my police resources are devoted to areas just like the caller described. We make a lot of arrests. We take a lot of enforcement action. There is a citywide curfew that's in effect. Now, having said that, there are a lot of issues that, you know, we face in this city. When you look at media response, for an example, to things like this, I mean, this has gotten, I mean, pages of ink in major newspapers. We have homicides and shootings almost daily basis, some of which get less than a paragraph in the paper. So there's a desensitization on the part of a lot of people when it comes to crime in some neighborhoods. I'm not saying it's right, it's just real. The way it is, but it doesn't mean that we aren't aggressively going after it, because we are. But again, until the community says enough is enough, then you're going to always be skirting around the surface. You're never going to be able to really get at some of the core root causes of some of the problems that we face, not only in Philadelphia, but in urban areas across the country.
Go ahead.
Quickly, 2 points. I'm on the oversight board for DHS. I was just appointed to that board by the mayor, and I was just at a conference in New York talking about child welfare and juvenile justice. Let me be very clear about this. It's sort of related to what the commissioner said. When they come to me, I got something for them, and you don't want what I got for them. The systems that work with our children and families are broken. They're dysfunctional.
You're talking about DHS?
Yes.
Schools?
The outcomes for our children and families when they come in contact with the government are horrible. They're more likely to drop out if we get involved, government. They're more likely to use drugs, to wind up, you know, unemployed, to wind up homeless, early pregnancy or teen pregnancy. Horrible the outcomes when we get involved and we try to help children and families in need. There are some exceptions, but by and large, the data show that the outcomes are horrible. The second point I wanted to make, the caller is right, and what he's talking about is something called the broken window theory. I'm sure the commissioner is very familiar with the broken window theory. It was used in New York, which says that when you see something happening, no matter where it's happening, in the neighborhoods, in Center City, you know, University City, you want to stop it. If they're jaywalking, if cars are parked illegally, if they're fighting, you know, if they are drinking, openly, then you stop that and it can prevent some of the things from spreading to other areas of the city.
We have to take another short break. We'll get back to our conversation talking about what to do about youthful mob violence here in the city of Philadelphia. Just one open line at 1-888-477-9499. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
The Philadelphia Museum of Art supports WHYY, presenting Rembrandt and the Face of Jesus, the first exhibition in Philadelphia ever to include the rare painting, prints, and portraits of Rembrandt, the great painter of the Dutch Golden Age. Rembrandt and the Face of Jesus reassembles a group of more than 50 intimate portraits of Christ that have not been seen together since they left the artist's home in Amsterdam more than 350 years ago, on view through October 30th only. More information at philamuseum.org.
On the next Fresh Air, we talk about the books and religious beliefs that have influenced Michelle Bachmann with Ryan Lizza. He profiles Bachmann in the current edition of The New Yorker. A New York Times reporter, Andrea Elliott, talks about the man behind the movement to create state laws banning Sharia law. Join us.
This afternoon at 3 and again tonight at 7 on WHYY.
I'm Robin Young. Join us next time for the news and these stories here and now. What if diagnosing disease was as easy as breathing? Researchers say breathalyzer tests may soon be able to tell patients whether they have anything from diabetes to cancer. Also, the best-selling book, The Help, comes to the big screen. That's Public Radio's daily digest of news and culture here and now.
Today at noon on WHYY.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscow, and talking with Philadelphia Police Commissioner Charles Ramsey and with Chuck Williams. Chuck Williams is an assistant clinical professor in the School of Education at Drexel University's Goodwin College of Professional Studies, also director of the Center for the Prevention of School-Aged Violence. Schools may be in recess, but there is a problem of youthful violence here in the city of Philadelphia, and that's what we're talking about today on Radio Times. Yesterday, Philadelphia Mayor Michael Nutter introduced a number of, or actually I should say signed an executive order with a curfew in Center City and University City, also extending hours at some of the youth centers, the recreation centers, and also much more of a police presence here in the center part of Philadelphia. Let me get Elizabeth from North Philadelphia to join our conversation. And Elizabeth, go ahead, you're on Radio Times.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I have a question for Commissioner Ramsey.
Go right ahead.
Is it legally possible for the police to use taser guns and straitjackets to subdue unruly people who engage in flash mob activity?
An interesting question. Go ahead. Elizabeth, thanks for the call.
Well,
a good day.
You too.
Straitjackets. I've never seen one used by us.
But
as far as tasers
she's
go, I understand what you're saying. But tasers, there are some officers who are issued tasers. But the way I have that set up is we have a crisis intervention team training that goes on, and we deal a lot with people that suffer from various forms of mental illness. And oftentimes, unfortunately, police resort to deadly force in trying to control a person who's attacking them, and that's a less lethal option. Just to tase people because they're part of a group is not appropriate, not proper, and not something that I certainly sign on to. If it's something, and officers can only use that force necessary to make an arrest, if that is an option for an individual, depending on the circumstances, that's something that could be done. However, we don't just put tasers out and say that's how you deal with flash mobs. Mm-hmm. That's not what we do. And the vast majority of people we can take into custody with a minimum use of force, and that's what we'll continue to do.
And thanks for calling into Radio Times, Elizabeth. And Chuck, I don't want to get into a deep philosophical debate here, but just picking up on what you said before the break, it sounds like you're saying that young people and maybe even their parents are not responsible for some of this behavior. It's the responsibility of government, or the failure of government, the failure of the justice system, the failure of police departments that's created this problem.
No, that's not what I'm saying at all. What I was saying, I was responding to, you know, the idea that DHS would get involved and other systems to help kids who face challenges. I was just talking about the data that show that when we do get involved, unfortunately, all over America, the outcomes are horrible.
We don't do a good enough job.
We do a horrible job. We take them into the system. They're more likely to be abused, neglected in the system. They're more likely to drop out of high school compared to those who don't go in. They're more likely to get pregnant as teenagers. They're more likely to become homeless, to become addicted. Horrible outcomes, but for a few exceptions. So the reality is you don't want government to get involved. As the commissioner said, you want the community and parents. Community and parents really have the ultimate responsibility for handling the behavior of young people. Back in the day, we did that. Today, that's not happening so much. Look, I call the period from the late 80s until Barack Obama was elected the Black Ages, really, no pun intended, for the African-American community. Because I'm speaking for myself, a lot of excuses for racism, poverty, discrimination, prejudice, all of those things are reality. But back in the day, folks said, it doesn't matter. Even with all those things, you can still be great. You can still grow up to be a police commissioner or a mayor or the president of the United States or be a college professor. I feel like people have given in to these evils that seem to attack communities in need, particularly the African-American community.
What do you think, Commissioner? Then we'll get back to our call.
Well, I think that a lot of the issues as it relates to government agencies trying to deal with this situation is that I think there's an over-reliance on that, and I think that these systems get overwhelmed. And when you get overwhelmed and you have too many, then you wind up not doing anything as well as you could have done it had you not been overwhelmed. And I think that that's part of the problem, that people just want to hand it off. And there are parents and others who want to just give the schools a responsibility for raising their kids. That's not what schools are designed to do. Can they support? Can they help? Do they play a role? Yeah, but not the only role. As a parent, you spend far more time with your kid, or should be spending far more time with your kid, than any teacher in a school. So I think there's a tendency to want to have somebody else do it, but not them. And there's got to be really a holistic community approach toward dealing with this thing that involve government, that involve universities, that involve schools, that involve everybody. And these kids have to be responsible for their own behavior. I mean, we keep talking about children and kids. I mean, some of these guys, 16, 17, 18 years old, excuse me, but you know it's wrong to just attack somebody and break their leg under any circumstances. I mean, you know that. So you've got to also take responsibility for your own behavior, too.
Let me see what looks like Mike from Ardmore has to say. Mike, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Thanks for taking the call.
You're welcome.
Since we're short on time, I've got a couple questions. I'll just get to the main one.
Sure.
Commissioner Ramsey, the gentleman who's attacked Friday the 29th at 4th and Walnut is a close friend of mine, and he's quite hurt. And I understand that imposing curfews is a pretty possibly useful and pretty standard response to this sort of violence. But he was attacked at 2 p.m.
Right.
How do the curfews affect anything like that?
Curfew will not be the only solution. In fact, when school starts, we're going to have another problem, because a lot of the earlier flash mobs that took place when the phrase was first coined actually was a result of things that happened immediately after school, and it went rampage through Macy's and things of that nature. So we're going to ramp up for that as well, because downtown, unfortunately, downtown is where a lot of people transfer to go to different parts of the city from the various schools, so they have a reason to be there. With Gallery Place was being a location where, you know, these things were occurring. It went over into other parts of Center City. So you're absolutely right. And I think when you look at these things, don't look at them from the perspective that we've got a solution to a problem. This is far more complex, and it's going to really take a lot of different things going on simultaneously in order to have a handle on it. But many of these things have happened pre-curfew hours. So curfew is not the end solution to this. We got to do more than that.
Chuck Williams, one of the things that Mayor Nutter talked about was extending the hours for something like 20 recreation centers in the city. You just gave me two thumbs up, meaning good idea?
Yeah, this is probably, you know, kudos to Mayor Nutter for that part of his speech. This is the most balanced approach I've seen since I've been paying attention for 16 years of a mayor as it relates to crime and youth violence. He said, I'm also going to give them things that they want and that they need. But the other issue is this. Will they go to those centers? Will their parents or guardians encourage them? Sometimes you can take them to water, but you can't make them drink. I also want to remind our community that, you know, I'm not that old, but, you know, in the 80s and the 90s, you know, and a little time after that, we didn't have these problems. This wasn't always a problem in Philadelphia, flash mobs. We had young people, African-American people, children growing up in poor neighborhoods and communities who could easily transition into school and out of school without these major mobs and these violent attacks.
I mean, there were gangs.
But they didn't attack innocent people.
Well, but you also didn't have the social media to the extent that you have now. And part of the problem is that this can be done spontaneously, where messages go out, bunch of people show. You got no control once you send that message out. So not only do kids who just want to come out and gather and just do something just to kind of kill time, but they're not out to hurt anybody, others get that message too, and they hide behind a larger group and do their thing, and then it puts a bad label on all the kids.
That's a good point.
I mean, when you look at South Street, for an example, most of those kids coming in, walking up down South Street, they're not doing anything. They're not bothering anybody. Most of them don't want to come to Center City, don't want to bother anybody. But you get that bad element, and they aren't the ones going to be going to the rec centers, I can guarantee you. If they do go, they're going to be causing problems. You've got a hardcore group of thugs that you've got to deal with, and what happens is this is giving them a way of being able to have a little cover when they go out and they do their thing.
But beyond that, and I'm someone who looks at social media and I talk about that, the issue to me is bigger than that. I don't care what it is. They had zip guns. during the mob, the gang wars in Philadelphia and other cities in the 70s, right? So they find a way to be violent, whether you have Twitter or you can just talk to somebody. I think the issue, part of the issue is community standards, what we will allow. I think we allow more inappropriate, disrespectful, and acting out behavior from young people than we did 10 or 20 years ago, point blank.
So laying down the law,
yes.
Whether it's
you will not behave
or,
that
or
way
apparent.
In front of me. It's inappropriate.
And you know, another thing, I mean, you know, again, being responsible for your own behavior and trying to help people grow and transition into adulthood when they can actually be responsible people. And I think it is important that we talk about the way in which, you know, you behave, the way in which you dress, the way in which you present yourself. And it's not to say that you label everybody the same way, that just because you wear your pants down is going to, but you can't go to a job interview that way. And you've got to learn how to talk to people and how to communicate appropriately. And a lot of those things are just missing. The basic socialization process that people go through, there are holes there, a lot of holes, and it's going to hurt them later on.
Let me see what EJ from Center City, Philadelphia has to say. EJ, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hi. Good morning. I wanted to make a comment about kind of attacking, in a way, young people, in that it seems like we're willing to punish all the young people by putting them on, you know, sort of a house arrest, in a way, because of a few delinquents. And the tone that I'm hearing is not that we're, you know, really going to support parents and try to understand young people, and, you know, we don't have any young people on the panel today, but more it sounds like we're going to fight back and not allow this and things like that. So I wanted to hear what kind of policies or things we're going to put into place to try to address whatever the underlying issues are instead of trying to treat the symptoms.
Well, it's interesting you say that because I feel like we have talked about the symptoms and the underlying issues as well. But, EJ, just a quick question for you. What do you think should be done? And a short answer, I would appreciate that.
Sure. Right off, I mean, if the kids have flash mobs, we should have, like, a flash response. So if they're using social media, why can't we use social media? That's one idea.
Okay, fair enough. Let me toss that first to you, Chuck Williams.
Well, because we're working, first of all, most of us, right? I'm writing proposals, doing research. You know, one of the things I was going to get to before we close, I'm sure you were going to go there, but I think we have done a good job of talking about the sociological root causes and then some of the ways we can address it. But, you know, mentoring is a big issue of mine. It's the major program that we're going to be pushing at the center. We're going to be starting a couple of them, hopefully coming up with support of some foundations and agencies. The research shows that mentoring can address anger and aggression, psychological, emotional issues, educational issues, dropout issues. It's almost like, I don't want to say magic bullet, that's a violent metaphor.
Because mentoring is complicated. I mean, it requires a huge responsibility.
Yes, but it can work, and so much so that the president of the United States, Obama, created a mentoring office in the White House.
Oh, interesting. You want to weigh in?
Well, I agree with that, and we would participate in that as a law enforcement agency. So I think that there are a lack of role models, a lack of positive things for young people, both boys and girls, to look at and say that they can aspire to be something more than what they're exposed to on a daily basis. And so the more that we do, the better. But again, government can only do so much, but I think we need to do what we can, and I think there's always more.
Let me see what Clarence from West Philadelphia has to say. Clarence, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hey, Marty. It's always great show, and I know
Thank
we're
you.
Running out of town, but time. Once again, I think, really, I had mentioned earlier when I called, and I'll make this real brief.
Sure.
These mob violence just show a fill of our police department. And my question really is, I live in West Philadelphia.
Okay.
Our police, it was a catastrophe waiting to happen. Our police department see these young men anytime they walk nearby as felons, as criminals, and things of that nature. They never consider the quality of life. They never consider what they're going through. Even the cops that are walking the beat right now, they have like this deer, you know, headlight stare. They have no clue what they're doing out there.
Well, Clarence, let me take your point and give, obviously, the commissioner a chance to respond to that. And I hear several things from Clarence. One is that the cops look at all kids as potential troublemakers.
Well, I mean, I see things, too, but the biggest thing I see is he's generalizing. And he's doing the same thing he's accusing us of doing. He's accusing all police of this and all police of that, and then say all police are looking at kids that way. It's just not true. Now, that's not to say we don't have some that, you know, do things inappropriately, but not all police officers are that way. And again, I think we got to stop generalizing altogether. That's on both sides, sir, not just, you know, police toward community, but community toward police. We need each other. And that's not going to change anytime soon, believe me. So we train our people. We put them out, put them on foot patrol so they would get to know the community, so they would interact rather than driving down the street at 40 miles an hour with the windows rolled up. We've got to have positive interaction. We do have a lot of positive interaction, but I'm very aware that we've got some issues too.
Well, let me give you a chance to weigh in on that, Chuck.
I was just going to say that, and you would know as the top cop, if we've increased foot patrols.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, because I think that you know better than I do, that can be very effective, especially in communities where there are a lot of young people. I think I see a lot of police cars and a lot of cops. Maybe they're good cops, maybe they're not. I don't know. I'm not generalizing. Sitting in their police cars, I think that if we could get them out of the cars, out of the wagons, and actually walking a beat like you did back in the day and in the streets, talking to people, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, is everything all right, anything going on, and actually engaging the young people, especially in areas where there's schools, but you probably, you know.
Since I've been police commissioner, everybody who graduates from the police academy goes on a foot beat.
Okay.
They spend that first 6 months or a year on a foot beat in a neighborhood. I want them to learn from starting that way. But we have bike patrol, we got foot patrol, we even got cops on Segways in some areas of the city, and then we've got vehicles. Now, you have to use all those things because you have to be able to respond to stuff, but we've got to build better relations with the community. I'm very much into community policing. We've done a lot in that area that I'd love to talk about at some future time on a different show.
Well, we are almost out of time, but final question to you, Commissioner Ramsey. Are you hopeful, optimistic that Philadelphia can address this problem?
Yeah, I mean, I am, but again, I think that we've got to look long term. I mean, what we're doing now is more short term solutions. We got to look long term because this isn't a problem that's going to go away. It can only get worse if we're not very careful, and we need to work on some of the issues that are leading to this. But in the meantime, as far as I'm concerned, you know, we don't need to have these kinds of attacks going on. We won't have it. And if they come to me, then I won't be so kind and forgiving about their past.
Well, Charles Ramsey, thank you very much for joining us today in Radio Times.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Philadelphia Police Commissioner Charles Ramsey. Chuck Williams, thank you for joining us as well.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And he's an assistant clinical professor in the School of Education at Drexel University's Goodwin College of Professional Studies, also heads up the Center for the Prevention of School-Aged Violence. We appreciate those phone calls to Radio Times. You can also carry on a conversation on our Facebook page. Also, check us out online at whyy.org/Radio Times. I'm Marty Moscowane. Thank you so much for joining us in this first hour of Radio Times.